Good morning. The following story is true as reported by the Minneapolis Star and Tribune. A 6-year-old boy named Walker, Duana, Rosemary, a 6-year-old boy named Walker Schmidt was so excited. He was entering elementary school. And that meant for the first time he got to ride the school bus all by himself to and from school. His parents prepared him for the big day. "Now, Walker, remember when school is over to get on bus number 21. Your bus driver is Mrs. Larson. We will be waiting for you on the street corner when you get off the bus. Remember, Walker, it is bus number 21. Little Walker nodded solemnly and repeated, "Bus number 21. As he put on his backpack and headed for the door, his parents accompanied him to the corner where a small group of children were already waiting. Mrs. Larson drove up, the door to the bus opened, and Walker climbed in. As the door closed, his mother called out one last time, "Remember, Walker, it's bus number 21. His parents were standing on the street corner that afternoon when Mrs. Larson drove up. The other neighborhood students got off, but there was no Walker. The father and mother jumped in the car and frantically drove to the elementary school, where they found their son Walker waiting sadly and lonely by the front door. "Walker, what happened?" his mother asked. The little boy explained, "When school was over, we all came out, and the principal was waiting for us on the sidewalk. She told us, form two lines, riders on the right and walkers on the left." Have you ever, as a child, truly got separated from your parents? And with all of the distress that you could probably and possibly muster, they had even more. Really. And so when we have the first story of Jesus after his infancy at age 12, only Luke, of course, records the story, Luke chapter 2, 41 to 52. These are the first recorded words that Luke has Jesus saying, not the first words that he said, but the first recorded words. "Know you not that I must be about my father's business or in my father's house? You know, why were you looking for me? Why were you searching for me?" As say, did you not know that this is exactly where I would be? One of the series that we have going through the course of this year is Encounters with Jesus. Matt has already discussed with us the Lord's encounter with Nicodemus at night and the Samaritan woman on another occasion. So we're looking today at Jesus' encounter with his mother Mary, because this is pretty strong language. It's strong language on the part of Mary to say, "Son, why have you done this to us? Behold," and that's more than just look or see. That's, "Behold, we have been searching for you in great distress." And that's exactly what they would be. You see, they've been to Passover to observe the Passover feast, one of the three annual festivals of the year for the Jewish people. This was the first time that Jesus would have been taken at age 12, at which time that he would have passed into early manhood. Bar mitzvah, as the Jewish people refer to that ceremony of becoming a man, means son of the commandments. And so Jesus, for the first time, has the opportunity to go. 7 days have passed. The entourage from Nazareth including the relatives, the acquaintances of Joseph and Mary, have all gathered together. The ladies usually left a little early. I think the reason for that is they had to make stops along the way. They usually left a little early, and then the men came later in the day. And at the end of the first day, Joseph and Mary are assuming that Jesus is with the other. And he's not with either. And so they frantically return, and they search Jerusalem, and they come to the temple, and they find him not being astonished himself, but rather astonishing the great rabbis, the great teachers of the law. He was asking them questions and answering questions that perhaps even they themselves did not have the answers, but he did. There's much about that that reveals to us that Jesus already had a sense of who he is and what his mission in life is, but there's an application from this story that I would like for us to make. That story concerning Walker was prefaced by the statement, "Are you sure that you're on the right path in your life?" And it's a question for the ages. I mean, it's a question for all time. Are we on the right path in our life? Three things I'd like for us to notice, three observations about this. In the planning of our lives, or in the developing a sense of purpose, or developing a sense of mission, or even a sense of destiny, we're going to have a plan. And you take Jesus at the age of 12, demonstrates to us that that plan can come to you very early in life. I mean, there are many of us who went through the ritual when we were asked in first and second and third grade, what are you going to be when you grow up? And there were the firemen, and there were the policemen, and there were the doctors, and there were the nurses, and all of these things, whether or not they came true or not, but at least an idea of what they would like to be when they grew up. Eventually they might find, you know, I really don't have the skill for that. But a sense of destiny for one's life not only needs to happen, must happen, but the point here is it can happen very early. Now, we would expect of Jesus to have that sense. Actually, this story shows that he understood who he was. Was he the son of Mary? Yes. Was he the son of Joseph? No. In fact, when you look at the text and you see, your father and I, you know, father there is with a small f, and when he says, my father's house, father is with a capital F, at least in our English translations, shows the difference between mere humanity and divinity. You see, the great miracle of Jesus the Christ coming to the earth is that he was 100% human as we are, and at the same time, 100% divine. Now you try explaining that. We know that it's true, but try explaining, how can you be 200% fully human and fully divine at the same time? That is the miracle of the virgin birth. Never happened before, will never happen again. And one of the distinctive proofs that Jesus is the Christ, the specially sent Son of God. But for our purposes today, if I'm going to be on the right path, I've got to be sure to have a plan for what it is that I want to do. I need to have a plan for, number one, the kind of person that I want to be. And even beyond that, the kind of contribution that I would like to make. You know, everyone's life has a story. I think of various tributes that were made to our beautiful Sister Margaret Record yesterday at her service. And out of many, many years, decades in fact, of serving in the airline industry, the hundreds and thousands of lives that she was able to touch, most likely without her thinking about it much at all. I don't know if she had a plan for that as a child or not, but somewhere along the way, there was a plan made for the work that I'm going to do, for the life that I'm going to live, for the direction that I'm going to take. And the story of Jesus at age 12 teaches us that it can come very early. Doesn't mean that later on in life, when we discover other skills or other interests that we cannot change, I mean, the world is full now of adult education, right? Of going back to school, learning some other skill, some other trade, some other interest. Yeah. But we must plan. Did you not know I must be in my Father's house? Secondly, we must prepare. I look at all of our wonderful students, and wasn't it great, what, last Sunday? Maybe Sunday before? Of all of our little ones who were beginning school, and big ones too that were beginning school, from preschool all the way to graduating seniors this year. Beautiful thing. This is why we go to school. I remember one Chester County little boy whose older brother was made for school. Now, these two boys came from the same dad and from the same mama, but they could not have been more different. And the older son was 4.0. I mean, he was straight A, and his life was straight laced and all of that. And the second little boy could not have been more different, not concerned about any of that kind of stuff at all. Rugged, outdoor, all of that. And so when he was told by his mom that he was going to have to go to kindergarten, she dropped him off for that first day. And as he climbed back into the car after one day of kindergarten, he said to her, "Just how much of this did you sign me up for?" That was a sense of purpose or a sense of destiny that he had to overcome, right? But this is why we go to school. This is why that for those of us who preach, well, at least when I was in school, we also had to take things like bugology. And I can remember my lab partner, Andy Baker, who is now president of World Christian Broadcasting, and I'm so proud of him. He looked across the table as we were dissecting a frog one day and says, "Billy, would you mind telling me what this has to do with preaching the gospel?" And I said, "Of course, I have no idea. We're not going to be baptizing frogs." But you know what? You later realize that in every discipline, there is something that helps you in working with people. In every single discipline, whatever the course is, whatever the curriculum is, Jesus prepared for his ultimate destiny for 18 years. In biblical silence. It doesn't mean he didn't say another word, but for 18 years he was growing intellectually as well as physically, spiritually, of course, with his Father in heaven, and also socially with those who were around him. And in those 18 years, you know, the Lord just appears at age 30, and he appears as someone who is ready truly to change the world forever, which is what he does, and he continues to do. And yet it was not without a plan and great and thorough preparation. He was the Word of God in flesh, but do you think that he didn't study Genesis through Malachi? Do you think that he did not sit at the feet of his mother and the seat of his father, his earthly father? That he did not attend spiritual occasions and be benefited from the synagogue services that Joseph would have attended and brought the information back home? Being divine while it being human, again, we already know that he knows by age 12 who he is and what's going to happen, what's supposed to be his place in life. But it did not mean he did not need to prepare. And so here's the foundation verse, basically, for the whole concept of what we call Christian education. Fourfold development. And this is why those of you who are Our beloved FHU students are to be commended for being at the best school in the world because it is devoted to this particular premise that came from the fourfold development of nothing less than the child of God. In our audience today, there are potentially even boys, not FHU students yet, but even boys who have the plan to someday stand here. They're not ready to do that yet, but they have a plan, and they're in the process, and it will take several more years of process of preparing before they stand up and step out and speak for the Lord. There are people who are sitting here who already have a very firm idea, very young, of wanting to assist people, to help people, be in some of the helping fields, like medicine, like social work, all of those kinds of things, teaching the generations to come. They already have a concept of that, but are they ready to do that yet? No. We've had Bible majors through the years who thought after one semester, maybe one year of being at Free Hardeman, they were ready to go out and conquer the world with the gospel. And then about 3 or 4 years later, you'd find them coming back and continuing their education, their preparation. It's why we now have graduate education, because every generation must be better taught than the one before it. And so we have education now at the highest level available to us, and it's got to be that way. And so there's a period, there's a time in which we must not only have a plan, but we must go through the preparation. By the way, there are young men in this audience today who may be already serving as deacons in the Lord's church. But I can assure you that they are being prepared and they are preparing to step into the shoes of our elders someday. I know that. Had discussions with some. And that's great and that's wonderful, and it takes a certain person to meet the qualifications that are mentioned in 1 Timothy 3 and Titus 1 to serve in roles like that. Same is true for deacons, same is true for teachers, same is true for husbands and wives. And thirdly, we must perform. There's an old adage that says, plan the work and then work the plan. You can't do half of that. You've got to do all of that. Plan your work, then work your plan. By the way, did you know that makes the best students? It not only makes the best students, it makes the best workers who see a project through to the end, who do not have good beginnings all the time and then falter and then have to go somewhere else and have another beginning over and over and over again. They have thoroughly planned, they have thoroughly prepared, and now they are producing. And so when we turn to Luke 3, 23, the one verse in Scripture that tells us that Jesus was about 30 years of age when he began to teach and to preach, when he began his ministry. Actually, his ministry was threefold. There was preaching the gospel of the kingdom, there was teaching in synagogues all over Galilee, and there was healing every manner of sickness and disease, bar none. Whatever the problem, he was the master of that problem, the solution to that problem. And that is one of the reasons why we're here today, is because of our faith and trust in him from what we read in the story concerning Jesus. And so as we think about what it is that our life may eventually be, am I on the right path? Am I going the right direction? Am I developing the right character? You know, when someone employs you, there are two things, according to statistics, that they are most concerned about. Number one, your character. What you really are or not. And then number two, interestingly enough, communication skills. Because communication affects everything in life. Even when you're trying to teach or train someone, you know, how to do your particular skill, it requires communication. Or if you're trying to show someone how to play post, it takes communication. And so whatever it is, we've got to perform what we planned and prepared to do. Boy, did the Lord change the world forever. He certainly did, and he certainly has. And we're grateful that his work is not done. The work is continuing to be done by interceding for us at the right hand of God, yes, but leading his family, his kingdom, the church, through all the centuries, those past, and if he tarries, those that are yet to come. The Lord's work is never done. And you and I are in honored positions to be in a position to be a part of his bride, the church, of his body, the church, of his kingdom that is going in the right direction to heaven. As far as attitude is concerned, we must do this work, do our Father's business with an attitude that is humble. There are a lot of arrogant people in the world. There are a lot of obnoxious people in the world. We gravitate to them, right? No. We don't want to be around them. Humble people we love, and so does the Lord. In that work, we will dedicate ourselves to be helpful, even if it means picking up the trash every day. You realize what this building would look like if we did not have people dedicated and devoted to keeping it clean and orderly, so that when you come, it looks perfect all the time. It's not perfect all the time for after events. Someone has to be responsible for that. The work, we must be happy, we must be joyful. We'll give our heart, our hands to this work, the greatest in all the world. I hope you believe that. I hope that you approach the Lord's Day not as something I've got to do, but something I get to enjoy. And especially when it's a beautiful one like this, we again get to come together and sing and pray, commune together with the Lord, give as well as listen to a portion of his word. I close today with another true life conversation between an older man who had lived life and was very wise, and to a young man that was about to begin his senior year in high school. He had all the promise and all the potential in the world. And the older man asked the question, "Son, what do you plan to do when you graduate from high school?" He said, I'm right now deciding on which college that I'm going to attend, and I'm going to go there, and I'm going to go 4 years, and I'm going to do well, and I'm going to get my degree. And the older man said, "Great. What then?" He said, "Well, I'm going to establish my business, and I'm going to work hard, and I'm going to be successful, and I'm going to make a lot of money, and I am going to do all these kinds of things that I've always wanted to do but haven't been able to do yet." And the man said, "Great. What then?" He said, "One of these days I will grow older and I will have made my fortune and I'll be able to enjoy the fortune that I have built." And he said, "Great. What then?" And he said, "I suppose that someday I will grow old." And he was nice enough to say, "Like you," not nice enough not to say that. "I suppose I'll grow old and die." And the older man said, "What then?" He had never considered the "what then" of that question. But it's the ultimate question. And that's why Jesus came to us, to make sure that we're in the right path, the only path that he leads us to God. And today, there may be someone who is ready to take the name Christian, the most beautiful name in the world, and to put it on like a suit of new clothes, to put it on and wear it, not just externally, but go to the very heart and depth of your soul and be truly dedicated to the Lord all the days of your life, so that as someone who has been baptized into Christ and been cleansed of sin, you can live every day sin-free as far as guilt is concerned, and at the same time be a servant of that boy at one time who said, "Why were you looking for me? Did you not know that I must be in my Father's house?" May that be where you are all the days of your life, while we stand and sing.